Hello. You are listening to the Carol Connection. With your host, Jared Carol.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Carol Connection. I am your host, Jared Carroll, here to bring you guys another great episode. I wanted to take a chance to shout out my last week's episode, which was my solo, my 30th episode, where I recapped how I've gone about this podcast and things that I've kind of struggled with in my own life, and I talked a lot about what I want to do going forward. So, if you haven't checked that out, check it out, thecarolconnection.simplecast.com, or Spotify, Apple Podcast, all those major listening platforms. But today, I'm with another great guest by the name of Christina Resendiz. How are you doing, Christina?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. Glad you could come out here and hop on the podcast with me.
Very excited.
Very excited. So we'll start off with talking about who you are and what you're doing currently.
Okay. So my name is Christina Resendiz, and I'm from Seekonk, Massachusetts. I went to high school with you and graduated with you. And I currently own a boutique. It's online called Mountain Days Boutique. And that's pretty much what I'm doing right now, is just working and planning a wedding and trying to buy a house and
a lot going
adult
on.
Adult life.
It's crazy how fast the quote unquote adulting hits you as soon as you get past that high school
stage.
It is
like a bulldozer.
So kind of talk to me a little bit about the transition after high school and kind of what you went through those kind of stages of life.
So when I was in high school, I kind of wanted to get into the fashion field, maybe get into fashion design. I ended up not doing that because, one, I couldn't afford fashion art school because that is very expensive. And then I was like, all right, well, can't do that, so I'll go for business. But then the guidance counselor was like, you're not that good at math, so probably not. I'm like, okay, forget that. And then I was like, I'll go decorate people's houses. And he couldn't really understand what I was saying, so I was like, no, forget that. And then I bombed my SATs, even though I was pretty smart in school, I bombed these SATs. I was crying to my mother. I'm like, Mom, I'm going to be stupid forever, and I'm never going to get anywhere. And she was like, no, honey, you won't, like, being the supportive mom. And I'm like, no, I'm dumb, and I failed. And she was like, so I said, all right, I need to find a place that's not going to ask for an SAT score, which I didn't know was a community college because, again, stupid in high school, but that's okay. So I went to Paul Mitchell for cosmetology because they didn't ask for an SAT score. That's why I ended up there. I figured, you know what? It's creative. I like doing makeup and hair. I said so. And it's a trade. So you kind of can't go wrong with a trade. So I went into Paul Mitchell. I graduated. You need, in Rhode Island, because I have my Rhode Island license, you need 1,500 hours. And I finished in 10 months. So I started, I think it was like in October or something. Oh gosh, I don't know. I don't know when I started. But it was like 10 months. And I graduated. I went and got my license. So I've had my cosmetology license for 5 years. And I went to a salon, which sucked. It wasn't so much doing the hair because I'm good at it. I do enjoy doing it. But that place was so toxic. So just like horrible, like, I had good friends there, but, like, the higher-ups were just terrible. It was the area that wasn't great. A lot of the clientele was just ignorant, and I was like, I need to get the heck out of here. So I left there. My now fiancé, but back then was my boyfriend, has an auto detailing business in Cranston, and I was now out of a job. So I was like, all right, I need to go get a job. And he was like, well, come work for me. So I ended up working there. And we argued a lot, so I left there, went and worked at Planet Fitness, and I waitressed, too, at the same time. And then I did that for a few months, left the gym job because his employee quit, and now he was out of an employee, so he was like, well, please come back, I swear we won't argue. I was like, okay. I was like, I want more money, and you gotta make sure you don't argue with me.
That money talks, though.
Well, listen, I was like, I guess for lack of better words, I was like the shop bitch. Like, I was like, I'm getting paid like crap. You have me run around like a dog, and I'm all set with this. So he was like, all right, well, obviously you'll have a different position now, and you get paid more. And but I still waitressed, and I'm still working there. And then, but I don't waitress anymore. And then for a while I did the LuLaRoe, which I thought was going to make millions. Mm-hmm. That was a bunch of BS. I did not make millions. And then I left that, opened my boutique, and I'm still scrubbing cars and selling clothes. So
what I liked you said there too about leaving Paul Mitchell was like the toxic work environments. And mm-hmm. I've talked on multiple episodes about the struggle of toxic work environments. And I talked a lot with Juliana Fonseca. I think that was episode 25 for people who want to check that out. But we both struggled, and it sounds like yourself also struggled with the fact of being in those environments where it's not good for your mental health. And the way that people treat you, the way that people communicate with you is just fucking shitty. Like, mm-hmm. to be honest, like, obviously we can swear on this podcast too, like, clear. But being in those situations really kind of forces you to look inwards and kind of decide what you really want out of life. And from my own experience, I've talked a few different times in the podcast about the fact that I was in Georgia, and when I was out there, I was working really long hours, and it wasn't something I really found value in, and I didn't enjoy. Like, straight up, I just did not enjoy that, and it was taking away from me working out. It was taking away from me doing things that I want to do, and I wasn't fucking happy. And it takes a lot of inside work and a lot of courage to acknowledge that stuff, that, hey, I'm doing something that I don't want to do and I'm not happy and I'm going to remove myself from the situation. And that goes into whether it's a relationship, whether it's work, whether it's family, like whatever situation it is, if it's toxic and it's not good for your mental health, the ability to remove yourself because you know you deserve better is so absolutely important.
Yep. Absolutely. I need to get out of there because I used to get like sick to my stomach the thought of going to this job. Mm. Like my like one of the people in charge like just gave me like the hardest time and for no reason. And it was just awful. Like, and then when I finally put in my 2 weeks, I said, I need to get the heck out of here. I said, I cannot do this anymore. And then they begged me, oh, please don't leave. Please don't leave. I said, mm-hmm. no. So I left and I ended up doing what I really wanted to do as far as the hair career went, was doing weddings.
Yeah.
And that's where I made good money. I was happy with it because updos, I could put my creative like side to it. And it was fantastic. Although some of the brides, thank God I'm not like that. But my God, some of these brides, I remember my first wedding, she was like the definition of a bridezilla. And I was scared shitless. I was like, nope, never doing this again. Because they are scary. They are their own creature. But that was just her. The rest of them were really nice.
Oh, God. The rest of them were just nice, too. Yeah. But talk to me a little bit more about starting Mountain Days Boutique and kind of like where you kind of gone with that since. And kind of like talk about a little bit like that initial hurdle to start something like that. Because I talk about on the podcast, like, it was hard to start something like mm-hmm. my own podcast. So I can imagine starting this was like definitely kind of like tough for you at first.
Oh my God, yeah. So like I said, I did the LuLaRoe, which kind of like I dipped my toes. It like kind of dipped my toes into like a business. Although I had to go by their rules, their policies, their price points. I couldn't pick my own inventory. They sent me whatever ugly crap that they felt like sending me. And that was the end of that. So when I was like, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm going to open up my own boutique. What am I going to call it? No idea. How am I going to do it? Don't know. Nobody helped me because, you know, you can't just go up to someone and be like, hi, how do I open up my boutique? Because they're going to be like, excuse me, first of all, like, what are you going to do? You want to copy my business or what do you, like, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? That's just not something you want to do. And I didn't want somebody to think I wanted to become a carbon copy of them. I want to be my own thing. So I spent, oh my God, months. And it actually, like, started, we were snowmobiling up in New Hampshire. And I was like, I'm done with this. I'm opening my own boutique. And he's like, all right, my fiance, because he's my business partner. He's like, all right, let's figure this out. I'm like, all right, I'm going to Google. So I just did a lot of Googling. I had a call, like, oh my God, the state so many times. So I'm like, who do I have to go for this? What do I need to do for that? I need to get licenses and tax IDs and I need to do this and all kinds of stuff. So it took a long time. Then it was like, okay, now I need to pick out a name. What am I going to call my boutique? I don't know. And I picked Mountain Days Boutique, because the mountains are super important to my fiance and I. Like I said, we go snowmobiling, ATVing. We got engaged in the mountains. New Hampshire is our jam. That's like our home.
Love New Hampshire.
And like I was saying to you, Daze, it's D-A-Z-E. Mm-hmm. And it's because, and you're in a place that you're just so happy and you're like genuinely content and you like everything else around you is just quiet. Like you can't think of the crap that's happening at home or whatever. You're like in like this like daze of just like happiness and joy and peace. And that's what I wanted to name my boutique was basically Mountain Daze Boutique based off of what, how we feel when we're happiest at. Up in New Hampshire, and I want to make other people, other because I'm a women's boutique, other women when they're shopping with us or around us, I want them to just feel like happy and like at peace and like forget that shitty person that screwed you over at work today because Mountain Daze Boutique's on tonight during a live sale on Facebook, and that's what. I mean, I've had people say this was so much better than watching Netflix. So, and if that's, well, you know what I mean? If I can just make somebody's day a little less crappy, even if they can't afford, like, you know, times are tough right now. Mm-hmm. I understand. People can't afford to shop right now. But, you know, you came on and you shared my video and you made some comments and you interacted and I just made you smile. I mean, that's, I feel like I did my job, like I made your day a little bit better, so.
I like that, and I feel that way too when I do the podcast, is just like, if I could help just one person, one person in listening to this, listen to your episode, because like what I say to everyone, this is your episode, it's not my episode, I'm on every episode, like you guys know me, like this is the Carol Connection, yeah, it's my name, all that shit, but this is Christina Resendi. This is your episode. This is your story. This is your life. And you never know who hears this and gets something that could literally change their life. You don't know. Oh. And like why I talk to people in that manner is like people sometimes like doubt themselves. I think a lot of people doubt themselves and they don't think that their story's special or that their story's worth telling or that they're unique enough or whatever it is. And I say that's fucking bullshit. I think everyone's stories matters and everyone has something that they could share.
Absolutely. Like something so minor. Like even like I was telling you, just like saying, oh, hey, like, yeah, I've dealt with anxiety and depression too. You can be like, really? You have? And then you guys can feel like you have like a support system because it's something that, you know, there's just things that some people don't even realize. That like, oh, hey, like, I'm struggling with this. Like, really? You do you know how many times people say I would have, like, that know my story that say, I had no idea you were going through that because you hold yourself together so well. I'm like, yeah, because I'm good at hiding it. But if somebody says to me, hey, I'm dealing with this, I'm like, oh, shit, really? Me too. And you can, like, help each other. Yeah, like, something so small that you might think is like, oh, like, oh, today I woke up and I saw I had a stretch mark on my butt and I feel like crap about myself. Someone's like, hey, I got a big stretch mark on my stomach. Let's talk about how we can, like, feel better about ourselves and have be more confident in our bodies and
it's just love openness. Us. It's that openness. It's that openness to be yourself.
Yep.
And obviously, I'm really big on mental health. It's one of my things that I'm a huge advocate for. I talk about it openly on the podcast all the time of, like, my own mental health. And, like, why I do that is just so, like, I don't, because people confuse when you talk about mental health sometimes as like you looking for attention.
Absolutely.
And that is a huge problem. And part of the stigma with mental health, not just for men, in general, mental health, is the stigma of just like, oh, they're attention seeking, that they're just kind of crying out for help, or they should, for a lot of men, get the whole man up thing, or in general, just suck it up and just like, the worst, I really hate when people say that someone has it worse than you.
Oh, I get told that all the time. All the time, especially with like now with everything that's going on. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I know. I know people are going to have it worse and there's people that are going to have it better. But for right now, this is like, feels like my world is crumbling. Yeah. So
it's like, almost like they're invalidating your feelings and what you're going through and your experiences.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. No shit. There's probably a ton of people who are going through some really hard times right now. Not even just now, but in general, who have difficult lives and all that stuff. And I'm very empathetic to that. And I'm very open to discussing those type of things and recognizing that, yeah, okay, that person might have it worse or whatever. But that doesn't make me feel any better or any worse about my situation. Like, I'm still, whatever I'm going through, I'm still sad.
You're
like,
still hurting.
Still, I'm still hurting. Yep. And like, I think that's just so insensitive of people when they say that type of stuff, because that makes me mad as someone who is very big on trying to get people to open up about mental health. So when you say that, like, it makes people not want to share what they're feeling. And like I say on every episode, guys, feel your feelings.
Yep. Or even if you're just talking about, like, a struggle, like, I mean, granted, like, I've only been in business for a year in May. We opened up May 13th, 2019. And I look at some boutiques that opened up around me, and they're, like, million-dollar boutiques. And I'm like, I'm over here, like, amped at my couple $1,000 a month. And I'm like, heck yeah, this is great. And then I'm looking, I'm like, now I feel like shit about myself. And it's like, but, I mean, it's progress. I started this from nothing. And, yeah, when I start comparing myself to others, I feel like crap.
That's a big problem in today's society, is that comparison that we do.
Yeah. And then I feel like crap because I'm like, what the hell? I'm working just as hard, and this person's living this bougie lifestyle, and I'm over here living in a trailer because my house burnt down, and I don't know. It's mentally draining a lot. But when you tell people this, they're like, yeah, but listen, there's other boutiques that make $100 a month, and they're happy with that. And I'm like, good. I'm so happy that they're happy with that.
Yeah.
But don't make, like same thing, like invalidating people's feelings. Like, I am stressed. I am nervous. I am scared. I am stressed. Don't tell me, like, oh, things will get better. Like, that's not helping. that's not helping me.
That has never helped anyone in the current situation to be like, it's going to get better.
Yeah.
Like, when has ever someone saying it's gonna be okay actually made you feel like it's gonna be okay?
Or telling me people that sell less that are happier than a pig and crab is making me feel better. Like, okay. like, it's like the same thing. Like, well, they have it worse than you. But they're happy with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, it's super frustrating. And you're like, you guys can't see our faces right now, but like,
there was a face of disgust on mine.
I like what you said too, the fact of you just like, you built it from nothing.
Yeah.
Like,
nothing. No help. Not a penny. No one gave me any money. I had to come up, you know, with this on my own. I had no help from anybody. I still have no help. I do like 98% of everything, from shipping to lives to communicating to customer service to product picking to product ordering to financing to bookkeeping to, like, I am like a one-woman show pretty much, and I'm exhausted.
Yeah, you're tiring. You are Mountain Days Boutique.
Yeah, like, that's me.
And like, I can relate in like the sense of this podcast. Like, I do all the editing, I set up all the equipment, I'm ordering all this merchandise. By the way, merchandise on the way. Hit me up if you guys want to get some merch. Just saying that. Check out my Instagram for the pictures of the shirts. But it's me. Like, I'm doing a lot of this work. Yes, these episodes are my guest, and it's their story. But I'm doing all this work internally. I'm doing all this work editing, making the content for my social media pages, doing the advertisements. Like,
people don't realize how hard it is, especially being a small business now. Like, people don't realize how hard it is. Like, it's a lot of work. Like, doesn't matter what you're doing. I don't care if you're selling socks or if you're just running, like, a promotional page online or what. It is hard work, no matter what you're doing.
It's very time consuming.
Very. And you got to be dedicated, because you can't just, you don't want to do something like half-assed, essentially, for lack of better words. But if you don't invest all your, not all your time, but like a good chunk of your time, and if you're not doing it for a why, you need a why. And that took me a long time when I was doing like LuLaRoe. They're like, share your why. I'm like, why? I don't know why I'm doing this. And it wasn't until Mountain Days Boutique was when I was like, all right, this is why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because, first of all, my goal was to have a boutique for women that is, one, fashionable, comfortable, flattering, doesn't break the bank, and provide a community where women can open up and be themselves. Because in my private VIP group for my boutique, I'm very open about mental health struggles, just different things that I've been going through. And honestly, this past week has been a struggle bus mentally. And my girls were like, something doesn't seem right with you. They're messaging me. They're like, what's going on? Are you okay? I'm worried. And I mean, I don't even know these people, but they're concerned about me. But I made my why for for my boutique. It's a boutique that's about family for my family. My goal, Mountain Days Boutique, has been what's been providing the money to pay for our wedding. It's going to be, the goal is to have it towards a deposit on a home. The goal is to get it successful enough where I don't have to work full time anymore and I can be home when I have kids and then provide a great life for the kids that I don't have, but one day have. And you know what I mean? I want my kids to look at it and be like, you know what? Because my fiance owns a business too. I want them to be like, you know what? Mom and dad busted their butts from nothing. They had no help. My fiance didn't have help opening his business either. And you know what I mean? And now they have a great life because we struggled. And I'll look back years, hopefully years later, and be like, you know what? When I can put my kid in whatever one day when I have a kid and I sit in here crying because I'm struggling or whatever, I'm like, you know, it was worth it. It was worth those tears. It was worth the frustration. And that's my why. My why is for my family.
That is so important to have a why.
Because if not, you're just doing things aimlessly. Mm. Like, and you're not motivated if you don't have a why. Like, if I don't work, how is this wedding going to get paid for? Magically? No. Because we're doing it on our own.
Yeah.
If we don't work and focus on, okay, after the wedding, we need to buy a house. How am I going to buy a house? I need to work. I need to save up my money for a deposit. You have to have whys. You can't just
go through life aimlessly.
Even if it's not opening a business. If you have a job and you hate your job, you're probably going to have a pit in your stomach every day that you go to work. You're going to be miserable. You're not going to perform well. You're probably not going to get raises because you're giving terrible
effort.
Yeah, work. And like, I mean, think of it. Or you can change your mindset and be like, I hate being cashier at Stop and Shop, but you know what? This job is, it's providing food for my kid. My kid's my why. Hmm. Or I really want to go to school for whatever. So this job is providing me income so I can go to school to live the life that I want to live.
And so many people right now aren't doing that inner work to figure out their why or their purpose. It is hard. And I've talked about a lot on this podcast. And like, I was one of those people who aimlessly went through life and just went through the motions and did things that people said, hey, you should go to school. Hey, you should do this because this pays well. Hey, you should keep doing that and do this and do that. And I just got to the point when I finally left that job in Georgia. I was like, fuck this. Fuck this. I'm doing what I want to do. And what I want to do is build my own brand. I want to build a platform for myself to openly talk about things so I could talk about things like mental health. That shit matters.
Yeah.
Talking about being positive, motivating people, allowing people to feel comfortable to come on the podcast and share their life stories and talk about all these different things that they've gone through, and building a safe place and safe community to have these strong relationships with people, because people aren't communicating in the sense of like we're doing right now. And I talk about it all the time. This is like a therapy session. Like, is getting out all that stuff that's inwards and like letting it out and feeling comfortable enough to do that with someone else. And like, we weren't super close in high school. No. To join together today and do a podcast like this and be open about our struggles and things that we've gone through since high school. Like, it takes a lot of courage to do that. And a lot of people do struggle with being open and honest about the things that they've gone through. And I just want to say thank you for doing something like this.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
This is awesome. So like, let's kind of transition a little bit too. And we talked about recently this year, you had your house burned down.
Yeah, that was October 17th of 2019. So that was 5 months after I opened my boutique. Mm-hmm. Was 9:30 in the morning. We got the phone call that our boiler malfunctioned. It blew up basically in my dad's face and he was being rushed to the hospital. And no one would tell us. I mean, I live in Zeconca home still, but I was working in Cranston. My mother works in Johnston, right up the road from me. So I had to leave there, go pick her up because she was such a nervous wreck. I don't even know how fast, I don't even remember how I got home. I must have been going like 100 miles an hour on this highway to get home because we had no idea if our house was literally in ashes on the ground. I didn't know if my cat was still living. And like I told you, my cat is like, that is my baby. Like, I love him so much. And I mean, we didn't know if my dad was severely burnt or what was happening. All we knew was that the house was on fire. He was being rushed to the hospital. And they don't know where my cat is. And like I had said, I'm getting married this upcoming May. I already had all my wedding stuff. I had my wedding gown. I had all my stuff for my centerpieces. I had everything for my wedding in this house during this fire. I'm like, oh my God, all my wedding stuff. Like, I'm like, my whole life is gone. And like I said, this is 5 months after I opened my boutique, which thankfully my father had built like it almost looks like another house, but he was a contractor and engineer before he had retired. So he had built like another house kind of thing as an office to run his business out of. And since he's retired, he obviously doesn't need it anymore. So I use it until I get a house to put all my stuff in. But so now, and it happened on a Thursday, I do my live sales at that time, Monday and Thursday. I was like, oh my God, now I have to. I was at the vet hospital all day with a cat. We had nowhere to go. No one wanted to take us because I also had fish, or I still have fish. And no one wanted to take us because of the fish and the cat. We didn't find a place until 9:30 at night, which I think it's called like the Quality Inn over near TJ Fridays, which if you guys are ever in a rut, they are super nice. You should totally go there. And they're like very nice. And they had a great continental breakfast. That was phenomenal. But it was hard. I'm like, oh my God. Like, and I got very depressed. Like, super depressed. I'm like, I'm getting married next, or what was it, 2019? So I don't know, like a little, like a year and a half I was getting married or whatever. And I'm like, I just like lost my whole, like I've never lived anywhere else. I just lost like 23 years of my life gone like this. And I had to go to Walmart at 10 o'clock at night because I didn't have a toothbrush. I didn't have any clothes. I was in my dirty work clothes. Like, we had nothing. It was the worst, most traumatic experience, like, ever. And that really took a toll on my business. I was out of work because I had to deal with stuff immediately after the fire. A month later, I sprained my ankle. So I was out of work again for another month because I clean my fiance's business is auto detailing. That's a super physical job, and it's definitely a manly job. I'm not proud of that, but it's fine. And now I'm out of work even more. So now my finances are in the dump. Like, when I tell you, like, I'm broker than a joke, like, broke. I had to rack up my credit cards because that was the only kind of way. I couldn't even, like, buy food. I had no money. So that screwed up crap that now I'm trying to still dig myself out of that because it was just so much at once. My business was shit in the drain because I had to deal with all this. Then I had no power in the back. I had to go use my fiance's generator. We had spotlights. It was now cold because it's October going into November. So we have space heaters. I'm sitting there shivering, trying to do these live sales, still trying to make some income, just crying the whole time because I didn't know my cat was going to die. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know if the insurance was going to give us money. I mean, we have like good coverage on insurance, but when I was a kid, I watched my grandmother's house burn and they lost the house because they did not give them enough money to rebuild their house. And I'm just was stressed out. I'm going to lose my house. My parents aren't going to have anywhere to go. I have no, like, I never thought that I'd be spending my last year before I got married and moved out in a trailer. So I make jokes about it. No offense to anyone who does permanently live in a trailer, but I'm like, oh, I'm just trailer trash now because you know what? If you can't joke about it, I mean, my mother's like, how can you joke about this? I'm like, Ma, because this is eating me alive. And if I don't laugh a little bit about it, I mean, it's going to kill me.
Yeah, it's somewhat of a coping mechanism. Like a lot of people who go through traumatic experiences turn to comedy sometimes. And like that, some people say dark humor. Like, and like, It helps, though. Like, I found light in that, too, myself, with some of the stuff that I've gone through in my life, is sometimes making jokes about it. It's like you said, like, if you can't laugh about it, then it's just going to eat you up a little bit. Like, and that's just not good for your mental health. Yeah. Like,
I'm a big person on laughing at yourself, because you know what? I mean, when I was, like, in middle school, I got bullied a lot, like, badly in middle school. And you know, and if people laughed near me for the longest time, like, oh my God, they're laughing at me. Oh my God, there's something on me. But now I got to the point where it's like, you know what? Yeah, I look like an idiot. Or yes, I did something stupid. If you can't laugh at yourself, I mean, you're going to just let every little fart that somebody says or does to you just eat you alive. You gotta laugh at some of these situations. Yes, it's crap. Yes, someone treated you like crap, but you know what? Laugh about it, because if not, you will, especially somebody like who has dealt with anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, all of the whole nine yards or whatever. If I just sit there and let every little thing that somebody says to me, like, eat me alive, and yes, there are some times that I, like, get anxious, up the wazoo about something or dealing with something, especially when it comes to my business. I get very stressed out. But sometimes you just gotta sit there and laugh and be like, this is the most ridiculous things. And you look back and you're like, I can't believe I was stressing over that. So
fucking true. Oh, like, you have to be able to just, like, laugh at yourself and go through those experiences, because, like, mm-hmm. that makes we're human.
Yeah.
Like, we do things.
We make mistakes.
We make mistakes. Like,
that's part of it. You got to make mistakes and you got to learn from it. If you're not making mistakes, you're not learning. You are never growing as a human being. You got to screw up and be like, shit, I really messed up. But now you learned and you'll never do that again. And you'll do it better or differently. Or you'll just handle things differently.
So fucking true. And like, what I've learned a lot this year too, like, I've talked a little bit in my own life about personal experiences. Like, I try not to go too personal on the podcast with some of the stuff I've gone through, but like, I've talked about why I've gone to therapy and like trying to deal with my emotions better. And like, more recently, I've talked about how on this podcast, I try to be such a positive person all the time. So literally people joke about like, come on, Mr. Positivity. It's hard. But the thing is, no one is positive all the fucking time.
No.
So when people tell me to be positive and like joke about it and stuff like that, it is frustrating because like, I'm fucking human too. Like,
it's like, I'm not in the damn mood today to be positive.
Like,
okay, you be Mr. Positivity.
Like, you're allowed to be sad. You're allowed to be angry. You're allowed to be like, what? Like, you're allowed to feel your shit. Like,
yeah.
Like I say, feel your feelings. Like, but don't allow your feelings to control you and dictate you to do things that are acting out in like a negative behavior that could harm yourself or other mm-hmm. people. And Absolutely. That is a huge thing that like, I don't think I say enough is when I say feel your feelings, feel them, understand them, but learn how to control them in the sense of like, not like if you feel angry, maybe pick up a boxing class or try to meditate or do something like that instead of just like go for a run. But like, don't lash out on people you care about and say things that you don't mean. And mm-hmm. I've done that in my own life. Shit, I've honestly even done that recently. And like, it sucks when I see myself doing that and I'm more self-aware now to recognize that's not aligned with who you want to be as a person, Jared. You can't be doing that going forward. And understanding that we do have slip-ups. And like you said, we make mistakes and we learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we make mistakes over and over.
And learn to apologize for your mistakes. Like, apologizing is a big thing. And it's hard. Trust me, it's awkward. Be like, hey, sorry I was an asshole to you and I made you cry. But. But like, you got to apologize.
That's like, huge. And that falls in with communicating. And I am so fucking big on communication. I mean, obviously I'm doing a fucking podcast. Like,
I think the problem with communicating is everything's social media now.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know how to talk to people.
Nope.
They're like, there's people here. Like, I mean, there's been times I've taken my little cousins out and they're on the phones the whole time. I'm like, look at me and talk to me, child. Like, what the heck? Did you forget how to talk? And they don't. Everything's on the phone.
And then it's funny, too, that you see a lot of these older generations say that, and then they do the same shit, and they're just, like, on their phone, just, like, scrolling. I'm like, didn't you just tell me to, like, look you in the eyes and communicate, and now you're doing the same shit? Like,
oh, yeah.
It's so, like, I hate when, like, generational, like, older people start pointing fingers down at, oh, it's this generation. No, it's everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody's failing at communication. Like,
big time.
It's
especially now with this pandemic, because we can't see anybody.
Yep.
And it's like, you forget how to be, like, a normal person around normal people.
Yeah.
Like, so that's one thing that's nice with, like, the live sales and stuff is that, like, I'm still kind of providing some kind of, like, conversation with people.
Yeah.
Like, interaction, which people are craving right now. They're craving interaction because they're not getting it.
Yeah.
And you go out, I mean, you don't even want to talk to people. You get near people, you're, like, running like they got the plague or, like, get away from me.
Yeah, and people literally get anywhere close to them, like they like shrug their shoulders and like get away. Like, it's like they're like
cooties.
That's what it's like. And like,
we're all back in elementary school. Ooh, boys got cooties and girls are gross.
it has that like feel to it. And like, it's scary. Like, obviously, this is a serious pandemic. We should take it serious.
Absolutely.
Wear your fucking mask, people. Socially distance when appropriate. Wash your hands. And the key part, too, that people don't talk about, try to eat healthy. Get some exercise. Go outside. Get some sun while you still can before winter hits, especially up north.
Especially now. People are like, oh, I got the Corona 15. It's like, go eat some carrots and go for a walk.
Because, like, the unchecked thing in this whole pandemic is mental health. And, like, they're just, like, now it's starting to talk about it.
It's like, bad right now with this. Because, you know, when this pandemic hit, I remember I sat down on my floor in my teeny tiny little postage stamp of a room in that trailer. And I looked out at the window and I just sobbed. And I, like, begged God, please do not let me go belly up. Please. Because I don't know how I'm going to make it out of this. Surprisingly, my business actually, like, tripled. It's definitely slowing down now, I think, because of the election and there's just so much uncertainty. Yeah. And kids are going back to school and that's a big mess. So, I mean, that's pretty reasonable, but Christmas is coming up. But I remember when this hit, it was so uncertain. Everything was shutting down. I was up snowmobiling when everything was starting to shut down. We were still up there and all the restaurants shut down. I said, oh my God, we're going to starve to death. Thank God the hotel room that we had like a kitchen because we were able to go like buy food at like a little market, because if not, we would have starved to death and died and I was having a meltdown. But we came back and they were like, you can't buy toilet paper anymore. I'm like, what do you mean you can't buy toilet paper? I was never so concerned to wipe my ass in my whole life.
I never understood like, that one.
I don't either. I was like nervous. I was like, oh my God, how am I going to wipe my ass? Like, I need help. Somebody. It was like, I was so stressed. Everyone's like, oh my God, everyone's out of work. We have no money. Trying to get unemployment. And it was like, I was like, how am I going to keep this business open? I'm going to go belly up. I'm going to lose this business. And of course, my full-time job is my fiance's business. All the dealerships closed down. All the body shops closed down. No one could afford to buy cars. Mm-hmm. We were like, what are we going to do? And there was a lot of uncertainty, and it was scary. And then, too, I was dealing with the house fire, so my mental state already was a mess. And I was going through a lot of very dark places that right after the fire, like I had said to you, I was angry that God woke me up this morning. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you wake me up this morning? Like, I was genuinely pissed off. And I was very open with my customers about that and my group. And now, and then I was finally, like, accepted. All right, the house burnt down. We're going to figure it out. You know what I mean? One day at a time. This sucks ass, but one day at a time. And then the pandemic happens. Right when I was starting to get my feet back on the thing. And I was pissed because I was like, you know what? 2020, this is going to be my year. This is going to be the best year because 2019 was a shit show. And I have no choice but to make 2020 the year. I made a vision board. I was like, I'm meditating. I'm like, law of attraction, $1 million. This is going to be fantastic. And what was it, March?
Yeah.
When everything shut down. And then it was like, and I was like, oh.
Rip that
buy,
out.
Buy vision board, buy money, buy job, buy everything. And it was, again, I was back to that same spot. I'm like, what the hell am I going to do? Especially with a wedding coming up.
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to, am I going to even be able to have my wedding? Like, it is. This pandemic is killing people mentally. Like,
absolutely.
Truthfully. Like, and, like, the depression and suicide rates have skyrocketed. Mm. And no one's talking about it.
Like, I've just recently started seeing people talk about it on the news. Like, after...
I don't watch the news.
So. I allow myself to watch a little bit of the news just to, like, see what's going on, see what people are saying. But, like, I'm not one of those people that, like, is one side or the other. Don't give a fuck about that.
Yeah.
But talking about this, the pandemic stuff, too, like... For myself, like, same thing with you. Same thing, like, with you is just, like, 2020 is going to be my year. Like, I just started the podcast. I just moved back home. Yeah. Like,
it's like you needed it to be.
Like
it had to be the
year. Yeah. Like, this was just, like, this is going to be it. Like, I'm going to get all my shit together. And, like, honestly, though, looking back, I talked about this a little bit in my recap episode last week, was 2020 may have not been the year we thought it was, but, like, I have grown so fucking much this year in ways that, like, I didn't think I was going to grow. Like, my emotional intelligence and the way I deal with my things, like, I talk about therapy more and, like, mental health more, like, and my vision for my podcast has completely changed. And, like, the way I communicate people has completely changed. And, like, yes, 2020 has been really hard, but I think it's been the year that we kind of needed at the same time, in the sense of like,
it's been a big wake up.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like,
although there's been a lot of just like, are you gonna be kidding me? With like, some people just aren't getting a wake up call.
Oh no.
And but not to go into details with that. But I think for the majority of people, they've learned to like appreciate people more.
Yeah.
And just like be more supportive. I mean, and especially too with this whole like small biz. I'm sorry, squirreling a little bit with the whole pandemic thing happened. but anyways, when the whole pandemic thing happened, I was like big on like small businesses. Like, I'm sure you've seen it on Facebook. I'm like, you support small businesses. I actually had some kids from high school that have like not in our grade or whatever, but that have small businesses like reach out to me. They're like, hey, thanks for being such a big like activist for like small businesses. I'm like, well, I have a small business and I am totally on the struggle bus, and I will be the first one to tell you I am like, I like to call it the Hot Mess Express. I'm the owner. I run that show because that is my life. And, but you know what? My big thing is shopping small is amazing. Yeah. Because if you go to Walmart, like just for example, you walk in, everyone's like, hi. Or they don't even, they're like, your total's 27.15. Do you want a bag? It, like, they don't give a shit. Like, they don't. But if you go and spend, say, $27.50 with a small business, do you know how much that helps them? And like, depending on like, say you made a big order, depending on the business, say you made, I don't know, say $100 order for easy whatever, or paid for $100 service or whatever, that $100 on a small business, that could have like paid for their daughter's like fifth birthday party, like food for it or something. Mm. Or like, you know what I mean, like most small businesses are family run, or they're for a family, and that means so much to them. And it's freaking hard starting a small business, like at any time, never mind during a pandemic. So I was super like, listen, if like there's a small business that's selling fruit and food and stuff, like go to them. Like, you know what I mean? And then, I mean, if you need like meats or something, they don't have meats, like obviously go to like Salmon Shop or something. But like, if you can do like the majority of your stuff with like a small business or like a family owned restaurant or like anything that's like smaller, like do it. Because first of all, for the most part, they're the ones that are going to give back to your community. They're the ones that will be like, yeah, let me sponsor your son's little league team or things like that. Like, they are a community.
Hmm.
And it's super important to like support that community, because you mean you don't know, your kid or you're somebody down the line, or even you might be like, you know, I want to open up a business. And you will be damn well grateful if that person walks right into your business and shops with you or pays for your service or something. And you don't think of it like that.
No,
but
most people don't.
It's super important. And if that's something that somebody's thinking of doing, is opening a small business, I mean, obviously you can talk to your family and friends about it, but don't be like super surprised when your friends and family aren't like your biggest support teams, because I can almost promise you they won't be. Your biggest support team that will become like family to you are people you don't even know.
Facts.
Like, I have a customer when my house burnt who made a GoFundMe for us. I haven't even met her, but she has reached out to me with different things. I have talked to her about different things. We have like just like a big community of women that's literally like family. And honestly, I haven't met any of them. Really, I mean, a handful of them I've met, but from like open houses or stuff. But for the most part, I don't know them like personally.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like one-on-one, I don't know how to explain it. I know personal stuff about them because they open it to me. And if it's like confidential private message, it stays confidential. I'm not going to go around and be like, oh, this person told me this. That's not how I roll. But it's like a community. And your biggest support is going to be people that you don't even know. And they don't realize that them supporting you, even though you don't know them, is just like the world. And because I'm so open in my group about my mental health, they'll be like, I've had people say, like, comment, so it was public, so it's okay for me to say it, say, like, you know what? I have been struggling with suicidal thoughts and depression for years. Thank you for bringing light to this, because it's very lonely when you're depressed and anxious and all that. You will feel like it's you against the world, and your brain is mean. Mm-hmm. It is a mean, dark place to be stuck in by yourself. So that's why I'm always trying to, like, Like I put myself right on the, like, out in the open. And if anybody feels like messaging me or commenting and being like, you know what, I totally feel how you're coming from, because I deal with that too. But guess what? Now you don't feel so alone.
Yeah.
Now if you feel like you need someone to talk to, you know.
Being open.
Like, you have a place.
Yes, yes. It's that openness. That's what I preach on this podcast, is people feeling comfortable to say these things. Like, because we our brain, like, does this, like, thing where it, like...
It's afraid of judgment.
Afraid of judgment and, like, wants us to, like, keep everything bottled. I think people want to just, like...
I think they fear not being accepted.
Yes. Yes.
And you can't fear that. For. Because not everyone's going to like you. You're not everyone's cup of tea.
Love that. What I always say, you're not meant for everybody.
No. Like,
and you shouldn't be. You should be happy that you're not meant for everybody. No. And it's okay.
Yeah.
And, like, what I try to tell people, too, is, like, regarding whether it's my content, like, my podcast. I'm big on TikTok. Not going to talk about that too much. But, like, if you don't like my content or the things that I post... Just don't follow me. Like,
yeah, exactly. It's,
it costs $0 to hit that unfollow button.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be ignorant too when you do it. Go quietly.
Yes.
I mean, there's no need to shame other businesses, because you know what? Just because you didn't get your way with something doesn't mean... I mean, granted, I've had a lot of luck with that because I tried to give, like, above and beyond customer service with my girls. So I really don't have problems with that. But of course I've had customers, like... attack me for things.
Yeah.
Like, I've had customers, literally, like, good customers who I go above and beyond, because I do, like I said, my boutique, to me, my customers are family.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just a walking money sign. I mean, I've had customers who's lost significant others to cancer, and I went and bought one of the bracelet companies we carry sell like awareness bracelets, and I had bought one. And I mailed it to her, like, just as, like, you know, your story touched me. I'm thinking of you. I hope this brings a smile to your face. I've sent Christmas gifts to customers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I try to give back, too, as much as I can to my customers. And then, like, our shop for cause products, too. Like, where was I going with this? Hold on.
You're talking...
Yeah, sorry, squirrely.
You did warn me.
I did. I was like, I'm going to blabble, and then I'm going to forget where I was going with something. So sorry, guys. Anyways, but I think I was going with the community thing.
Yes.
Or something.
You're talking about giving back, too. And, like...
Yes. But literally something so small. Like, I've done things that were like when I did the Christmas gifts. I've had people message me like, I had the shittiest day, and that package came in for a Christmas gift that I wasn't expecting, and you made my whole day. Like, it's such a simple thing that you don't have to spend tons of money on, but if you just do something nice for somebody else, it's going to go a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I knew where I was going with this. So, like I said, I'd like to do a lot for my customers, because I really, truly, genuinely appreciate them. And this was, like, years ago. I didn't even have the boutique yet. This was LuLaRoe days. And somebody had gotten mad that they didn't win something, because I like to do giveaways, too. Mm-hmm. Even now, I still do giveaways. They were mad that they didn't win something because they shop a lot with me. So they were mad that they didn't win. But I draw winners, like, fairly. I'm not going to, like, tweak it so you win.
Yeah.
Sorry. And she was so nasty with me because she didn't win something for free. So, unfortunately, sometimes you have to break up with some customers. But, I mean, that was a situation where I already knew that she was going through a lot. And I kind of didn't really take it personally, because I was like, you know what, you're going through a lot. You obviously just want to take it out on me. It is what it is. Is this making you feel better? If it is, I'm glad. But... I mean, I think that's the other thing that people need to, like, realize. Like, when you're going through some crap, try to, like, focus on how you're responding to others, because you might actually be hurting somebody else's feelings.
Yeah.
Unloading all your garbage onto them. And that's not fair to them, especially when they're just trying to do something nice or just be a person.
Yeah, that's literally, like, I mentioned that earlier, too, is, like, working on how to understand your emotions and not take them out on other people, because you're... Say, like, your anger, like that customer was, and I've had people talk about themselves being angry, myself being angry, and taking it out on other people, and that's not fair to those people
for
not understanding my emotions and how to deal with them better, or that person dealing with their emotions. Like, just because you're in a bad mood doesn't give you the right to go treat other people poorly.
Yep.
Like I say, feel your feelings, understand your feelings, and then learn how to control them and release them in a proper manner that doesn't harm other people. Like, I've seen videos on TikTok of guys talking about how do they release their anger is they'll take a pillow in their bedroom and just scream into it and punch it and, like, allow themselves to just, like, let that anger out that way.
Yeah.
And, like, that might not be the most positive way, too, for them, but, like, that helps them and, like, that allows them to, like, not lash out on other people.
Because it feels tight when you're angry. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like you want to explode. And I know because I have that Portuguese temper and I'm ready, like, 0 to 100 real quick. Not Same. That I'm proud of that.
Nah.
Like, at all. But, I mean, that's something I need to work on. I need to chill it out a little bit when I get angry. And it's...
We all have stuff that we need to work on.
Yeah.
Everybody is. We're human. Like,
but you gotta acknowledge it.
Exactly.
Like, that if you don't acknowledge thing. It, you'll never, like, grow from it.
Facts.
Like, what's that thing that they say? I think it has to do with, like, addiction or something. But I think it's, like, the first step to recovery is, like, acknowledging you have a problem.
Yes.
I mean, you can use that in, like, other things.
Oh, definitely.
Like,
talk about that in therapy.
I have a super bad temper. I mean, I do have a temper, but I wouldn't say it's, like, out of control. But yeah. I can be like, all right, I like to shop. I shop way too much. So maybe I should chill it out a little bit and save money more. Okay, well, I'm admitting that I have a shopping problem. And now I'm going to focus on fixing that problem.
Like, what are the next steps? Like,
yeah.
The key is self-awareness. A lot of people lack self-awareness. Mm-hmm. Like, seeing that this is a problem and, like, how can I go about fixing this problem? And, like, taking the appropriate steps to go forward and work on that and work on yourself. And, like, that's something I'm so big on right now is, like, I'm in the space where I'm putting myself in therapy, working on my emotions, like, focusing on my energy towards this podcast, things I want to do in the future, working on merchandise, thinking about YouTube channels. Like, there's a lot of things that I'm working on inwards, because I always say, like, just in terms of, like, relationships too, like, you gotta love yourself in order to love other people and love just
family. Oh my God, I say family. That all the time.
Like, if you do, like, I always say, no one loves me as much as I love myself.
Yeah, you can't love somebody else if you don't already,
like,
love yourself.
Like, deadass, I have a fucking picture of myself in my room over my bed. Like, I love myself.
I love that.
I love myself so fucking much. Like, no one will love me more than me. Like, call me fool myself. I really don't care, because, like, that ability to love myself that much allows me to pour.
A lot of people hate themselves.
Yeah. Without getting too personal, I've dealt with people, too, who literally would tell me, like, no one hates me as much as I hate myself.
That's sad. That's very sad.
And it's scary, because, like, I'm a person that comes from the complete opposite spectrum, where no one loves me as much as I love myself. So, mm-hmm. In that case, people really have to do a lot of work on themselves and, like, a lot of healing, whether it's emotional yes. trauma, physical trauma, whatever it is. Like, heal yourself. I'm big on that. Take those things you've experienced in your life, whether it's childhood stuff, like, relationship stuff, family stuff. Heal those wounds the best you can and yeah. move forward and work on loving yourself, giving yourself that time, that alone space, like, the energy in, like I said, space to be yourself and figure out what you want out of this life.
Yeah.
And that is so crucial going forward, not for just 2020, 2021 and beyond. Mm-hmm. We're working on healing. We're working on growing. We're working on being our best selves. And that's what I'm promoting on this podcast. That's what you've talked about. And it's just that positive message for other people, you
yeah.
know?
And two, don't be afraid to ask for help.
Mm.
Like, I mean, I love that you talk about, like, the fact that you go to therapy. Because, like I said to you, I've gone to therapy, too. And it saved my life. Like, without it, you probably wouldn't be sitting here listening to me babble on and lose train of thought. But it's fine. But people are, like, embarrassed to ask for help. Because people are so proud of themselves mm-hmm. or have too much pride or whatever it is that they're like, now I can handle my shit on my own. Even if you're, like, dealing with addiction of something, like, no, the chances are you probably are not going to recover this on your own. You're probably going to relapse. You need to go get help. And there's nothing wrong with asking for it.
Nothing.
Like, go get the help, because you know what? It's going to save your life. It's going to save other people's life. And yeah, a lot of people are like, oh, it's just anxiety. You're just a little sad. No. Like, unless you've dealt with it, you don't understand how consuming it is. It consumes you. Like, you can't breathe. Like, ask for help. Even if you don't want to go to therapy, reach out to somebody you trust.
Yeah.
Talk to somebody.
As someone who's is going to therapy, has been in therapy, like, it takes more strength to acknowledge that you want help and mm-hmm. you're asking for help than just to, like, try to deal with it yourself.
Just, like, wither in it.
Just reach out. It takes a strong fucking person to reach out and be like, hey, I need help mm-hmm. or I want help. And you don't have to have something wrong to go to therapy.
No.
There's nothing wrong with wanting to talk to someone who gives an unbiased opinion on your life and give you legit advice from someone who's gone to school to do that type of work. Yep. So anyone out there who ever has questions about therapy, feel free to ask me. I'm always open about my therapy sessions and things that I talk about. I'm not going to tell you my personal stuff per se, but I will give you advice on how to approach going to find a therapist and do those type of things. I think it is super valuable, and especially in the time that we are living today. But we are getting to the end of this podcast. So is there anything in specific, wow, fucking
yeah,
up.
Yeah, you're squirreling.
Specifically that you want to touch upon before I get to like my wrap up?
Like regarding anything in particular?
Anything that you want to talk about. Is something that you didn't touch upon that you want to touch upon, now would be the time.
Well, kind of like based off what you said, like if somebody needs to reach out like regarding therapy, I mean, like I said, I have a woman's boutique and I'm like very big onto all that. I mean, we have a lot of fun too, and we sell clothes and shoes and accessories and all that. But I mean, we're also very big on community and family. So if you're just looking for like, if you're like a woman, you're just looking for a place to kind of feel at home and open up and just have like a girl gang kind of thing. I mean, we have a Facebook group. It's Mountain Days Boutique with Christina Resendiz. After May, it'll be Mountain Days Boutique with the Valentis. And we have a Facebook page and we go live twice a week where you guys can just kind of come and hang out and just forget about all the crap. So, but we offer like a community situation. So if you guys are looking for like a community, definitely a good place to head to. And we have a lot of fun. So
awesome. And I will also put that tag you guys in my Facebook post and the Instagram stuff when I make the post about these. And again, thank you so much for coming on this podcast.
Thanks for having me. This is a blast.
But I do like to end the podcast in one specific way, and I always ask every single person this question. What would your advice be to someone who is pursuing their passion?
Oh my God, go for it. Like, I don't care if you're 50 years old and you're like, oh, I'm too old for this. No, you're not. All right, you're not dead. Go for it. Like, don't be afraid to fail, because I can promise you, you will fail. Like, you will fail, and then you will learn, and you will grow, and then you'll fail again. And you'll just keep repeating it, but go for it. Like you're going to regret never trying it. Like, go for it. Try it. You'll be really glad that you did, trust me, because I was scared shitless when I went for what I wanted to, and I'm blessed every day that I did. So just go for it, and don't be afraid to fail, because like I said, you will. But you'll also benefit and you'll succeed. So,
love that. Great advice. And again, thank you so much for hopping on my podcast with me.
Thanks for having me.
And this is Christina Resendiz, Mountain Days Boutique. I will be tagging her and the boutique page on all the stuff. So now I'll give my little spiel. So if you guys like the podcast, please rate, review, and share. Subscribe to. You can check me out at thecarolconnection.simplecast.com. Also available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the major listening platforms. And again, guys, feel your feelings, be your best possible self, and until next time, guys.